What's up, South Canyon? It's Pastor Tanner again. I'm here with Pastor Brent, Senior Pastor of South Canyon Baptist Church, and Pastor Joel, Pastor of Worship Ministries here at South Canyon. Okay, guys, so this is what I want to do. We mentioned in the last podcast, last video, whatever we're calling it, last pastor's talk with the trio, we mentioned that we were going to talk about the Hebrew series, and more specifically, maybe some themes and some things within those themes that are going to be changing. And I say changing, but like bringing out some things within our order of service. So let's just first talk about the book of Hebrews and what maybe some of those central themes are.
One of the things that I think many people, or at least people in academic circles, think about when they think of Hebrews is who wrote it. And we don't know, and we're not going to try to solve that or resolve that in our series at all. But we know it's in Barnabas. Scripture, it's God's word. You know, we have all kinds of ideas. Barnabas is some of the favorite, one of the favorite ones that's been mentioned. Of course, Paul traditionally has been the one that many people have attributed the book to, but we don't know that. So we're not going to try to resolve that. There's enough in Hebrews for us to deal with. And the name of our series through Hebrews is Jesus is Better, because that's essentially what the book teaches. And it takes the Old Testament and shows how Jesus is better than all that the Old Testament offered and the Old Covenant provided, and how actually those things actually pointed to and foreshadowed Jesus and who he was and what he would do. So we'll talk about how he's the better sacrifice, he's the better priest, he's the better prophet, he fulfills all that the Old Testament leaves us wanting and longing for. One of the things I thought about too, as I thought about the series through Hebrews, is that quite often when people try to read through the Bible in a year, one of the places I've often heard people say that reading through the Bible dies is in the book of Leviticus, right, which is obviously pretty early in the year, so if you don't get past that, you don't get very far. But sometimes there's some things in Leviticus that are hard to understand, and in many ways the book of Hebrews is maybe the best commentary on that book that maybe for many of us doesn't seem to help or doesn't seem to make sense. But I think the book of Hebrews will help us not only with Leviticus but with other Old Testament texts and pictures and stories that seem somewhat maybe confusing or obscure to us. Hebrews helps us see it through the lens of the gospel, and so we're going to move through that, and we're excited about the opportunity to do that in the fall.
Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, in the book of Leviticus, the center point is that Day of Atonement within the whole book of Leviticus, and what's really cool about Hebrews is that the center point is Jesus, and how within the atonement, it's like, bang, Jesus is this guy. Jesus is this sacrifice, this priest. It's a really, really cool interpretive book for sure. I know there's also a mixture of warnings and stuff like that within the book of Hebrews that I know it's been historically like really challenging theologically within those warnings. But Brent, maybe just mention like briefly, like why do you think those warnings are there within the book of Hebrews?
Yeah, there are lots of passages, chapter 6, chapter 10, just to name a couple in the book of Hebrews, where there are warning passages that could be understood and have been understood by some people to imply or to mean that a person who is genuinely a Christian can lose their salvation if they don't persevere or if they do in some sense turn back. That's not what I think the warning passages are about, but they are significant and they are a part of how God saves and keeps his people, I believe. I believe the warning passages, to sort of state it simply, and we'll unpack this through the series, the warnings in the book of Hebrews and throughout Scripture, warnings work in the hearts and in the lives and in the souls of those who are born again. And God uses those warnings to cause his people to persevere and to persist and to maintain their faith in the truth. And so I think that is the way that the book of Hebrews works and how the warnings particularly work. It's a part of how God saves his people. The promises that we find in Scripture are a part of that, and so are the warnings that we find in Scripture. That's a part of how God sustains us as he promises to as his people.
Yeah, it's almost like the letter is urging you, hey, keep a watchful eye on your soul and be sure that you are persisting in the faith. I think that's really good. So there's warnings and there's a lot of Jesus, so a lot of Christology. So Joel, how are we going to incorporate these kind of major themes, these major facets of the book of Hebrews into our order of service?
Yeah, so I think we just mentioned this briefly in our last podcast, but as we think through some of the different elements that we have either begun doing in this past year or so, and maybe even some new things. So whether it's a prayer, whether it's a scripture reading, sometimes our scripture readings may be from the Old Testament that somehow ties in with what's going on in the book of Hebrews, or whether it's even using one of the historic creeds, church creeds that God really used, particularly many of them, to help the church wrestle through some of the issues of, you know, Christ's divinity and his humanity and the Trinity, and of course that's a big part of Hebrews, but even using some of those and to confess our faith together as a church can just help tie in with some of the themes that we see going on in Hebrews. For prayers, I mean, clearly if there's just this high Christology of Jesus is better than angels, or than he's the better high priest and so on, just having a prayer of praise along with our songs that just, you know, exalt Jesus as better and as the best. But, you know, a prayer of praise or thanksgiving that just allows us to really extol him in that way. Or even with some of the warning passages, and as we were talking about that, just thinking through, we don't want to try to brush over those and say, oh, we can't lose our salvation, and so let's just try to ignore these verses. Like Brent said, there are means that God uses, and so we want to let them have their work, not because we fear that, you know, someone could somehow take us out of Jesus' hand, that he holds us fast, and yet this is one of the means he's going to use to do that. As you know, as our shepherd, he's going to keep us in line through these warnings. And so even to maybe have a prayer of confession where we just confess our own, you know, failings and wanderings and ask for him, you know, to forgive us and to, you know, to keep his hold on us. So I think just a lot of things like that, trying to use the different variety of those things, hopefully in a way that just really edifies the church and helps us to keep our eyes on Christ.
I'm already hearing a song idea with He Will Hold Me Fast, obviously being that, because I think a major theme, I think that the writer of Hebrews is really wanting us to see, is that we are kind of up and down, but Christ, he just stays up here and is constant. And
that's the same yesterday, today, and forever.
That's right, yeah, and that's why we can hold on to him. And then I think that's what makes passages like Hebrews 12 so rich, whenever it says, don't forsake the gathering of ourselves together. It's because of Christ holding on to us, we ought to hold on to each other. A really, really beautiful picture, I think, that the writer of Hebrews paints for the church. So things are going to look a little bit different. Like, we might do some corporate scripture readings. As you said, we might be doing some of the historic creeds together. It'll be, I think, really, really fun to be able to incorporate those within our order of service as well.
I was going to say, the only other thing that I wanted to mention about the book of Hebrews that I've mentioned a little bit just a moment ago, was there's a lot of Old Testament that is connected to the book of Hebrews. And one of the things I try to do in my preaching, as I think through how to pick books and so forth, I want to preach the Old Testament as well as the New Testament. And in a sense, preaching Hebrews is sort of doing both at the same time. Mm-hmm. So I think if you are a person who wants to understand the Old Testament better, I think the book of Hebrews will be a huge part of that and help you understand it, that, you know, that Jesus is the better one who fulfills the Old Testament. And I think there will be a lot of interesting questions that will possibly, I think, probably be answered through just walking through the book of Hebrews that you may have.
Okay, going to shoot from the hip here. What's the one thing that you're most looking forward to within this series? And I'm going to start with Joel.
I guess one thing, I really love the whole Hall of Faith, as it's called sometimes, and just the cloud of witnesses that the writer of Hebrews goes through towards the end of the book. So that'll be neat. And there's actually a really great song, which maybe we should consider bringing in, By Faith, by the Gettys, which just is all about that, you know, being part of that cloud of witnesses and looking at all the history of God's, you know, faithfulness to his people starting back in the Old Testament. So that might be a neat song to pull out there when we get to that passage.
It's interesting, the book of Hebrews kind of zooms out and helps you see the larger C church in such a way, as it's tied in with the believers of the Old Testament as well. Brent, what are you most looking forward to?
you know, we've talked about this, but I think it really is those tough passages. I think those will be helpful as we walk through those carefully and thoughtfully. I think they'll be encouraging, and I think they'll be challenging, and they'll have their work. And so I really, in one sense, I'm not a sadist, but I do look forward to dealing with some of those tough texts, because I think it can be helpful for people to see that there really is a way to explain these things that at times maybe we wonder about, that really do make sense and that really can be borne up out of the Scripture themselves.
Yeah. I think I'm most looking forward to, when you mentioned this already, but just the interpretation that happens in the book of Hebrews, with particularly with the book of Leviticus. So I think as you read the book of Hebrews, and then I would challenge those of you at South Canyon to be reading the book of Leviticus while we're going through the book of Hebrews. You're going to have many, many weeks to be able to do that. But I think you're going to find the book of Leviticus so much more beautiful, because you're going to get to see within the book of Leviticus how God was foreshadowing him providing himself as this once for all sacrifice that bulls and goats couldn't cover. So I'm really excited about that just for our church. And I know that's kind of how the light turned on for me of like, oh, wow, Leviticus is amazing, because God knew thousands of years before Jesus would arrive on the scene that this was going to be the way for him to bring his people back to himself. Really, really cool book for sure. Well, y'all, we're really excited, obviously, about this book. And we're going to be actually tying bits of Hebrews right into our PM service. And we're going to be talking about that in our next video, our next podcast. So be sure to check that out. And we'll see you guys next time.